You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back here with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show, Holy Land Hoops, where we bring you the best of Israeli basketball, all the way up north to Nahariya, down south to Eilat, and all the great places in between, Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and many, many more. Today we take you to the nation's capital of the United States of America. We catch up with Neil Dalal, of course, the Sports Rabbi, Washington Wizards correspondent, wrapping up Denny Avdia's first season in the NBA. Of course, he'd been out injured the last couple months. The Wizards make a miraculous recovery over the last few months and make it to the playoffs, face the 76ers in the first round, a gentleman's sweep. At least they take one game that Daniil will talk all about, I am sure. The high of the season might have been that. But, of course, having Denny Avdia on track to potentially be at Summer League is important. If you want to check out this podcast, all our podcasts, make sure you check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and also Spotify, at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com, for the latest and greatest news in English and Hebrew. Neil Dalal, how are you today?
I'm good, Josh. How are you?
Doing well here in Jerusalem. It's a beautiful day, about 80 degrees. It's sunny, not a cloud in the sky. Gorgeous weather. This is it can stay like this for the rest of the year, and I'd be a happy camper, that is for sure, Neil. So how's the weather by you?
It's getting hot again out here, but now we have all those random thunderstorms that come through in the afternoon.
Oh, yes. I remember those. Living back in New York City, we had a number of thunderstorms as well on those hot afternoons, and it gets cooled off a little bit and then gets hot again the next day. Who has been hot? The Washington Wizards finished off the season very hot. They make the playoffs, really a miraculous run, Neil. You know, I think they were thrilled. The play-in, they get to the playoffs, they do what they had to do to get there, they get a couple of home dates with fans in the stands, so ownership is obviously happy about that. It gives the fans something to think about, something to be excited about, especially going into next year. Talk a little bit about the end of the season. What was it like to experience a playoff game with finally some human beings and not cardboard cutouts in the stands, Neil?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. So like you said, you know, they had a pretty miraculous finish to the regular season. They started, you know, 17-32 and then finish 17-6 to, you know, get into that play-in tournament, earn a 8 seed in the playoffs. So with that, you know, they get games 3 and 4 at home. Capital One Arena was at 50% capacity. And, you know, certainly for that game 4 win where they were able to, you know, have quite a few exciting plays down the stretch and, you know, secure a victory. The building was definitely, you know, rocking and rolling for, you know, the first time in over a year, you know, since they've had fans in the stands and really since they've had a meaningful game in the building basketball wise for some time, because obviously this is the first time Washington has made the playoffs in, you know, calendar time a little bit more than 3 years, 2018. So it was absolutely a great environment, you know, kind of unfortunate that the Wizards weren't able to, you know, win game 5 with Joel Embiid out to potentially, you know, start making things a little bit interesting, you know, with game 6 coming back home in DC, you know, that would have obviously been a great environment. Embiid probably also not playing in that game. So it was certainly something that was interesting to see, you know, something that's been missed for a very long time. And unfortunately it's over, but definitely some hope for the future.
Well, at least Denny Avdia got to taste playoff atmosphere from the bench. You should know that many Israeli players, Omri Kaspi, held a well-long record of never being able to play in a playoff game. Hopefully Denny won't have to wait that long in his career. But he did get the taste of playoff basketball. How important was it for the club to make it to the playoffs, to at least get that 8th seed, to get in there at the end and, you know, to at least get those couple of home dates? How important and critical was it to the club as a franchise?
Right. So, you know, obviously they have taken a step back the past few seasons, you know, obviously due to, you know, significant injuries to John Wall, who's, you know, at that time, you know, their best, if not second best player. But it's really important for all of the young guys on the team. And as much as, you know, Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal are, you know, Brad might be still in his prime of his career, but, you know, two guys that are, you know, ready to win now, the Wizards overall are still a pretty young team. You have Rui Hachimura in his second season. You know, you have Daniel Gafford, you know, who's come in and, you know, made a leap.
But great, you have trade. Great trade. Daniel Gafford has been – I always liked him. That was a good move. Got to give credit there to Tommy Shepard and the staff. That was a good move.
Absolutely. You know, they finally got that long-desired, you know, bouncy, athletic big man that can really go up and play above the rim, which was an amazing trade for, you know, something that – you know, Troy Brown Jr., you know, wish him the best of luck. I'm sure he can still potentially have a, you know, nice long NBA career. But for whatever reason in Washington, you know, he wasn't getting the opportunity. He wasn't getting the playing time to prove himself. And, you know, the Wizards made a move that improved their roster. So definitely a good move by Tommy Shepard that, you know, Chicago fans are probably scratching their head about now. But, you know, like you said, you know, this is such a young team. And, you know, even though Denny wasn't able to play, it was at least good that he was able to be with the team, travel with the team, at least get a little bit of what that NBA playoff atmosphere and environment is going to be like. And hopefully, you know, that's something that he can carry over and have a little bit of knowledge of, you know, going into next season in theory when the Wizards return to the playoffs. And that's all important, you know, for all of these young players to be able to understand that, you know, really everybody can say it, but you can't really understand it and feel it until you experience how different playoff basketball is to the regular season. You have to lock in on an even greater level. Every single possession counts. Every single shot counts. Can't take things off. So it was definitely beneficial for them. You know, obviously they would have wished that they had more games and more experience that could have been learned and engaged, but it's all a stepping stone. And, you know, like Tommy Shepard said, you know, no longer is run it back going to be, you know, the momentum and the mantra. They understand, okay, we've gone to the playoffs now. That can't be just the baseline and bare minimum of what they need to achieve. They have to now go and strive for something even more than that.
No, for sure. Now, Neil, what does that mean? What is the definition of that? They're not going to run it back. Where do they have to go at this point? What do they have to do at this point to, you know, to look to make the next step? Now, they're not going to go over the cap. That I, at least, the way I look at Ted Leons is he's not going to allow that to happen. So they're going to have to figure out a way to be creative. And if they do want to try to win it with the roster they have now, they've got to bring in at least another big piece of the pie. The question is what is that piece? What is missing? How can they go about doing that?
Right. And, you know, I would say that it's a little bit of a breath of fresh air, but we'll see what actually happens. You know, for much of the past few years for Wizards fans, you know, running back has more or less been what the Wizards have done. They've kept the main core intact. They've tried to make, you know, small changes around the edges and hope that, you know, okay, this will be the team that can get us over the hump, that can get us to the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, that never actually materialized. So it's nice for Tommy Shepard to say, hey, you know, we understand that, you know, there's still a far gap between where we are now and where we want to go. And he said, you know, he's not afraid to take big swings. What that actually means, you know, we'll see over the next few months. It sounds more and more like his job is pretty secure for going into the future. But, you know, you never know with the whole thorough evaluation that the organization is, you know, flaunting out there that they're going to undergo in these coming weeks. I will say that Tommy did leave the door open, cracked open, said that, you know, if it's conducive to winning, you know, Ted would be willing to enter the luxury tax. You know, I agree with you that it's more likely not than that they will go into the luxury tax. The last time Leonsis did that was with the Otto Porter signing, where they matched Brooklyn's max offer sheet of $106.5 million over 4 years. And the Wizards went over the cap, over the luxury tax for that. And, you know, I'm sure Ted still has a little bit of a bad taste in his mouth on that one. having
to get sure.
and Otto Porter is a Georgetown product, just like Ted is. So that might have hurt a little bit more. but like you said, you know, if they're not willing to go over the tax, it's not like they have a lot of money to spend. They're, you know, pretty much going to have the mid-level exception to bring in one kind of veteran type player at, you know, $8-9 million, and then they'll have their draft pick. But if they're going to make a big move, and, you know, in theory, you have to make a big move to continue to show Bradley Beal that, hey, you can win in Washington. This is where you can stay. Don't ask for a trade out, even though this is your last year under team control. You know, they're going to have to make, they're going to have to move, and, you know, we'll see that is. And I know a lot of people throw out Jeremy Grant's name all the time just because he has a, you know, 2 years remaining on, I think, about $40 million left on his contract. And, you know, that's something that you can play around with. But, you know, who really do the Wizards have as tradable assets right now? And, you know, Denny Avdia is going to be thrown into a lot of, you know, the Twitter NBA trade machine generator type trades, because he's one of the few assets Washington has available right now, assuming that, you know, they are mostly unwilling to part with Rui Hachimura. From a year ago when Davis Bertans had, you know, good sign and trade value, that's now all of a sudden kind of plummeted to nothing. And I think that they don't necessarily want to trade a guy who they believe has, you know, asset potential. They don't want to trade him at the low end when then you get nothing back. So it'll certainly be an interesting off season for sure, and an important one for those who want to keep Bradley Beal in DC. But of course, all of that starts with what decision they're going to make moving forward at head coach.
So there's a lot there to unpack, Neil Dalal. Of course, Neil Dalal, Sports Rabbi correspondent. Let's start with the head coach, Scott Brooks. It looks like he's done enough to continue on. You've got to figure that Russell Westbrook wants him to continue on. I think that he, the way that he spoke about Scott Brooks is as if they are best buddies. And he definitely wants to see Scott Brooks back. Russell Westbrook has, I believe, what, 2 years left on his contract?
Including the player option in the last year. That
one plus one. Mm-hmm. So you could see an offer to Scott Brooks for 2 years plus an option. That to me is what the reality could be for the Washington Wizards. I don't even know who they would even be looking at as a potential head coach. But, you know, we can have the debate that was it Scott Brooks that got them that 17-6 record at the end, or was it really Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal that got them that that record? I mean, the players are going to say it's Scott Brooks. Scott Brooks is going to say it's Scott Brooks and the players. The fans are going to say it's the players in a lot of cases. Where does Scott Brooks stand? What are your thoughts as to where they're going to go forward, Neil?
Yeah, so, you know, I would say there are probably two big things going for Scott Brooks right now. And one of them is, like you said, is the massive endorsement that Russell Westbrook gave to the media for Scott Brooks in favor of Scott Brooks returning as head coach next season, where Russ is essentially saying, well, I don't see any reason why he should be going anywhere. And, you know, that's big time for,
of course,
you know, as much as it is Bradley Beal's team and Bradley Beal is a franchise player, Russell Westbrook still has probably a higher amount of clout, around the organization, just because of who he is, the stature of player that he is. You know, what he says, it rings loudly. And so Ted is not going to, you know, fall on deaf ears about that. He'll obviously, you know, incorporate that in. The other thing going for Brooks is, you know, the Wizards essentially, they want to still compete. They don't want to rebuild. That's never been something that Ted has liked to do. And so they essentially have, in theory, you know, a 1-2-ish window right here, right now, to say, we think we can compete right now in the Eastern Conference and make noise in the playoffs with Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal and our young guys developing and getting better. Maybe we can get one more piece and really do some damage. And all of that, you know, means that you want a somewhat experienced coach right here and right now.
Right.
And the big names out there, you know, a Mike D'Antoni or a Mark Jackson, you know, guys that are experienced, they're going to come with a price tag. And that's something that Ted Leonsis might be wary of doing again after just spending $35 million over the past 5 years. Whereas Brooks is someone you can maybe bring back at, you know, like you said, a two-year deal. Maybe the second year is a team option and or something that they just feel like is a low enough dollar amount that they can just eat if they need to, should things go awry in the first season. You know, Brooks essentially provides them a little bit of flexibility where, you know, if you risk bringing in a new first-time coach that's young, right, like you very much have an immediate risk of that person not being able to command the locker room, right? You don't want to have a Nate Bjorken situation like they do in Indiana right now. You don't want to have a John Beilein situation like Cleveland did.
No, they can't afford to bring. They need to bring. If they're going to bring in anybody, it has to be an experienced coach. And that there's no question. And I don't even see them looking at Mark Jackson. He hasn't coached in the league in how many years at this point?
Right, for sure.
And even Jeff Van Gundy, we see his name floating out there for other jobs. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I'd want to take these guys that have been in the broadcast booth for X amount of time. I just to me seems to be a recipe for disaster. I know there was a lot of criticism about Brooks, but at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding. And like you said, he got the endorsement. Now, with that all being said, where does that leave Denny Avdia? You mentioned before that obviously he is one of the assets, tradable assets, the Wizards do have. Are they going to part with their lottery pick from last season if it's for the right deal? My guess is that they would. And the brand new jersey that just arrived here in Israel for my son, the district jersey with the Jordan logo, potentially could be going by the wayside very quickly. I do believe that he could be traded, not because they don't like him, not because they're not happy with him, not because they just feel that in order to win now with the window that they have, they may have to unload him. Just because he is that tradable asset. And like you said before, they probably have a little bit more faith in regard to Rui Hachimura because he's been there one extra season, and rightfully so. And by Denny being injured, obviously, the last X amount of months, I wouldn't say hurt him. It certainly didn't help him, but I don't think it hurt him. So let's unpack that a little bit, Neil.
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, essentially the Wizards have two probably more highly commodible assets right now that they're potentially more willing to part with than anything else. They have their current 2021 first-round draft pick that will be 15th overall, so not super high, but, you know, this draft is theoretically, you know, pretty loaded and pretty deep all the way through the draft, even outside of the top five guys who are, you know, looked at as potential generational talents. So they have that, you know, a team can make any pick they want. And then they have Denny Avdia. You know, the rest of the league, you know, probably has various different opinions of Denny's game. You know, he wasn't put in the greatest light in his rookie season. You know, he was often just kind of sent to the corner and he stood there and, you know, that was more or less it. He didn't have the ball much in his hands, you know, unsurprisingly with playing with two ball dominant guards like Westbrook and Beal.
And that's not going to change. As long as Westbrook and Beal are going to be there, that probably won't change. It could change, potentially. Maybe they look at him as that other option, but I really don't believe that at this point.
Right. And, you know, I think essentially in my eyes, while he's early on in his career and, you know, if he is still playing with Westbrook and Beal, say, going into next season, you know, I think a role off the bench, you know, might be more suitable for him if you can get the ball in his hands more, let him run and dictate the offense a little bit more. You know, Ish Smith and Howell Neto may or may not be back next season. And, you know, they obviously had the ball in their hands a lot of times off the bench. But, you know, if they're out of the equation as free agents this season and you put Avdia more in that role, kind of a Joe Ingles-like role that Utah uses, where, you know, he can facilitate offense for that second unit and be a playmaker against, you know, bench players and bench defenders in the NBA. You know, that might certainly be beneficial to him. But all of this is to say that, you know, he is a young asset on a rookie contract that teams in the NBA might say, okay, he has X, Y, or Z potential, you know, going forward. I think, you know, at the end of the day, he's 20 years old. He really could continue to just develop and get really good and be a very good rotational player, be a very good starter, maybe, you know, potentially reach that all-star status, you know, in a few years if he keeps working the way that, you know, he always has his entire life. So there's definitely value for them there. And if the Wizards are thinking that, hey, we need to make a big swing and, you know, Avdija is the only piece that a team will really take to consider, you know, parting with a Jeremy Grant or, you know, another fringe all-star level player, you know, I could easily see, as much as Tommy Shepard, you know, likes and really values Avdija, you know, if he's going to say, well, I got to pick between keeping Bradley Beal happy and having a better chance of contending next season, or, you know, maybe Denny Avdija turns into a great star player, you know, 5 years from now, you know, the GM that has to worry about his job today is probably going to pick the former and be willing to part with, you know, a young asset, even if he feels like he might not be getting the true full value and pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm. Is there any other players other than Jeremy Grant that you think the Wizards would be looking at?
You know, I think it's all going to depend on how things turn out the rest of the season, the rest of the NBA offseason. Everything's still, you know, crazy financially wise. You know, I don't think the cap is going up at all, if anything, for next season. You'll have to see where, you know, chips fall and everything. There are a lot of reports and rumors, you know, about any single player, you know, that come out these days. And a lot of it, you got to one ear in and one ear out, because anybody can write a report and say, oh, the Wizards are monitoring the Kristaps Porzingis transition right now. It's like, well,
I hope they're not.
Agreed. Everything that says about wanting somebody like Kristaps Porzingis is, you know, kind of by the wayside. You know, that kind of thinking is what the Wizards don't want to do and want to avoid right now. And so, you know, sure, the report and rumor might be true, because as Tommy Shepard always says, you know, he's monitoring all 400 plus NBA players in the league, you know, on any given day. So, you know, I could put out a report there right now and say the Wizards are monitoring Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard in free agency. And that wouldn't be false, but it's also not going to happen. So there's a lot of misinformation in the reporting world, and especially when it's not coming from a Woj or Shams. You can't put too much stock in it. But, you know, I haven't done too much research yet into, you know, other potential players they need. Obviously, Jeremy Grant is, you know, a local guy from the DMV area, fits a very big void that they need as a, you know, real kind of wing defender that they really haven't had in seemingly ages. You know, obviously against Philadelphia's size, they were just getting absolutely brutalized. Obviously, you know, Denny being hurt, he might not have been the answer, but he would have given them a bigger body, somebody that could be physical and contend a little bit. You know, that was a glaring, obvious need for Washington that they need to address going into next season. And you're not going to probably be able to do that in the draft, because that's going to be a young player that needs time. You may or may not be able to get, you know, a Reggie Bullock or a Doug McDermott type player in free agency, because they're going to probably want more than a 1 year, $9 million deal or something like that. So unless Tommy can get creative, you know, trade is really the only seemingly major avenue where they can have a big time upgrade.
You know, the Grant family, of course, we know them well in Israel and in Europe. Jirai, of course, played here a little bit. He's played in Greece, and Jerian also played in Greece this year. So, listen, Jeremy Grant's a very good player, very, very good player. I think that would be a very good move for the Wizards if they can pull that off. Of course, we're on here with Neil Dalal talking about the Wizards. So let's talk about the offseason now. The dates, the calendar. What is Denny Avdija's latest injury update? What's that going to mean for his summer league? Do you expect him to play? I know that there was a very – he could play. That's what they're trying to say. But if they have any doubt, he's not going to play. So I think that they were very non-committal if he's actually going to take to the court in the summer league. I would assume he's going to be staying in the D.C. area in the summer league for the Wizards, at least, you know, until he's finished his recuperation. And then maybe he'll take a couple weeks in Israel and then probably come right back to the States, I would think.
Yeah, so, you know, right now as we're talking, he's about 7 weeks into his rehab for a right fibular hairline fracture. You know, obviously we discussed previously that, you know, it looked like it could have potentially been a lot worse. Thankfully it wasn't. So he has about, you know, 5 more weeks to go in their, in the team's initial, you know, 12 week kind of diagnosis before he can return to full basketball activities. He is out of the walking boot. He was initially on crutches. Then he was using a cane. Now he's fully able to just walk on his own with 2 regular shoes on. And so he's been taking and partaking, you know, a little bit of, you know, on-court drills where he's in either a seated position, you know, they just bring out a chair and he just sits down and puts up some shots. At this point now, you know, he's even progressed to, you know, taking some stationary shots, not really jumping or anything like that, obviously. But so, you know, as you said, you know, Tommy was cautious and, you know, saying, okay, well, if he's not 100% ready to play, you know, it's not imperative for him to play in summer league, but you know that every single person in that organization is going to want him to be able to go out there and play in summer league. You know, his 12 week timetable in theory runs into, you know, early to mid July. Summer league is slated for early to mid August. So it gives him, you know, a good month to really get back into shape, get legs going again, get the juices flowing. You know, I'm sure that they'll have some sort of abbreviated version of rookie mini camp that he might be able to take a little bit of part in. Again, you know, this is all stuff that's still new to him. He never had a real offseason going into last season. He went from getting drafted to training camp to the start of the regular season in pretty much a 5-week span. So they would love to get him, you know, out on the court, see what he can do against other competition, you know, see if he can really start to exert himself as, you know, a higher tier and more talented player against some of these other young players. So it will certainly, and hopefully he'll be able to be out there in Las Vegas to partake, because it will certainly be something that, you know, will be a variable into, okay, how do the Wizards treat this upcoming season? Do they give him a bigger role? Is he still on the team at that point in time? You know, obviously you would think that if any major piece is happening, major move is happening, it would become before the draft. And, you know, at that point, if Denny is on the move, then maybe he's having summer league with his new team. But that's all for the next, you know, 2 to 3 months to try and sort out. But it will certainly be for Wizards fans, you know, must watch TV if Avdija is able to give it a go in summer league.
Yeah, I mean, it should be interesting. I'm sure that the Wizards definitely want to see him on the court. That there's no question. Who knows, again, like you said, if he's going to be in a Wizards uniform. My gut is that he's going nowhere. I knowing at least a little bit about the front office and the way that the management thinks, swinging for the fences is not really in Tommy Shepard's vocabulary. But again, if he gets the backing of management and they all get contract extensions and they have to make the move, then they make the move. You know, so it's going to be really, really super, super duper interesting. We're on here with Neil Dolel, finishing off talking about the Washington Wizards, Denny Avdija, the summer to be. So in the last couple minutes here, Neil, let's just talk about what fans can look forward to. Regardless, say Denny does come back next season. Thomas Bryant, where does he stand right now with the team? What's his recovery situation?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously Thomas Bryant, you know, will be going next season into, you know, a contract year. He signed a, you know, 3-year, about $24 million contract a couple seasons ago. And the Wizards were really hoping for big things out of him this season. And, you know, with all injuries, you know, it's tough to see. He had a partially torn ACL. From everything we've heard so far, you know, he is progressing in the right direction. He was, you know, on and off with and not with the team during the course of the season, but, you know, all signs would point, you would think, until we hear otherwise, that, you know, he's progressing properly. He's going to be ready for training camp on day one and be ready to go and compete. You know, obviously that's a pretty good lineup and center rotation between Thomas Bryant and Daniel Gafford. You know, I don't necessarily say that you have to decide right now, you know, okay, who's your technical starter and, you know, who's, you know, going to be your backup. That's something that you could always play on a game-by-game basis. Who has the better matchup? Who's playing well that night? And that's the person that's going to finish the game. So Thomas Lyon obviously brings a, you know, a little bit of a different aspect of the game. You know, he's a potentially a 40% three-point shooter. You know, obviously not super high volume, you know, like a Brook Lopez-type player or anything like that. But, you know, he helps the spacing of the floor. When you have some people like Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal, you know, always driving, you know, and attacking the paint, having a guy like Brian out there not clogging up the paint if he's able to, you know, spot up at the perimeter is super helpful. So Bryant will definitely be an added piece that they'll miss, that they missed this season, that will hopefully come back and return to his old self for next season going forward, and, you know, make a pretty good tandem with Daniel Gafford at the five position.
All right. Davis Bertans, I assume he's going to be working out this summer properly. Is that the word on the street?
Right. Like, it's really, you always understand where Bertans is coming from. You know, last season being a free agent, you can't risk a freak fluke injury, you know, overseas during the midst of a pandemic and, you know, potentially jeopardize, you know, guy got paid $80 million. Kudos to him and his agent. You can't blame anybody for getting paid, but, you know, this season he certainly needs to throughout be and maintain, you know, some kind of normalcy and some kind of shape, because he can't come to training camp again and, you know, make sure his visa issues are sorted out way ahead of time. Have him back in the United States a month before training camp if he's still on the roster. You can't have any kind of those hiccups anymore, because really it was as poor of a first year of a five-year, $80 million contract as you really could ask for. And some of that is not on him. You know, him getting COVID, that sucks, right? Him having a calf strain injury, that's tough. You know, you can't really avoid those things to the most part. So the Wizards really got to hope that he can come back and be that player from 2 years ago that was just lighting it up. And, you know, his numbers ended up this year, you know, not terribly. You know, I think he might have been, you know, right around 40% three-point shooting.
Right. Just but, under that, yeah.
Right. The problem was that he was going, you know, 1 of 9 and 2 of 10, and then randomly coming through with, you know, 6 of 8 shooting, but those are few and far between. So for a guy that doesn't really provide much besides his shooting, you know, he's not a great defender. He, you know, can move around without the ball a little bit and, you know, cause some chaos. But for a guy who's, you know, staple is shooting, and that's the main asset that he's bringing to a team, they really got to hope that he can turn things around in year two of his big contract.
Let's whip through the rest of the roster, like literally 10 seconds on each player. Isaac Bonga.
I hope you kill it in the Chinese league, Isak.
Anthony Gill.
You know, he's still under contract, I believe, you know, maybe a team option or something like that. So I'm sure he'll stick around as the 14th, 15th guy on the roster.
Mm-hmm. Chandler Hutchinson.
You know, that's another guy they brought in with the Daniel Gafford trade. Mm-hmm. You know, wasn't necessarily great this season, but he's still under contract on a rookie deal. So he'll probably be in the back of the rotation somewhere, and they're hoping to maybe develop something out of him.
Alex Len.
You know, I love the guy because he's a Maryland Terrapin, but he's probably not coming back to the team this year.
Robin Lopez, Rolo.
Yeah, you know, the king of the hook shot, you know, making Kareem look like it's easy. It'll certainly be interesting. You know, I think initially a lot of fans were like, oh, why are we paying this guy $7 million? But that hook shot is one impressive and efficient move.
Yes, it is.
I don't see where he fits into the roster with Bryant and Gafford theoretically taking up a lot of minutes. So he might be looking for a payday somewhere else this offseason.
Garrison Matthews.
You know, I'm pretty sure essentially his two-way contract is up now that mm-hmm. he's been with the Wizards for 2 years. So, you know, I think a lot of Wizards fans would love to see him back, but I could easily see, you know, him trying to go to another team and find more of a role for himself.
Raul Neto.
Yeah, so, you know, Raul Neto, you know, he signed to the veteran minimum. Pretty outstanding signing by Tommy this offseason for the value that they got out of him.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And I presume that, you know, he's going to be looking to then cash in, and that's something that Washington can't really afford. Slash, you know, with Russell Westbrook,
right?
You know, you're getting diminishing returns out of Neto if you decide to try and pay him when you have other needs elsewhere.
Ish Smith.
Yeah, so Ish Smith, you know, also done with his 2-year contract. Mm-hmm. Still showed that he has a lot of speed left in the tank that, you know, another team might be interested in. Maybe the Wizards bring him back, but, you know, I think they'll probably move on because he has his liabilities as well. And, you know, something that the Wizards might just start trying to look for their point guard of the future to develop and mold behind Westbrook.
Cassius Winston, last but not least.
Yep. So their second round pick after Denny Avdia last season, mm-hmm. he was technically a 2-way player last season. You know, he's under contract. I'm sure they'll keep him around, you know, essentially a developmental player. You know, they like what he did in college, very strong person. So they'll keep him around, but probably not a rotation player unless he makes great leaps and or they have some injuries next season.
And finally, is Denny Avdia going to be a Washington Wizard at the beginning of the season, or are they going to package him in a deal to bring in some kind of big player?
That's just a tough question because I feel like it's going to turn out to be the opposite down the line. You know, I think that they probably will entertain him in offers for sure, but I think that he comes back and he's starting his second season with the Wizards next season.
There you have it. Neil Dalal, an honor and a pleasure. Where can people reach out to you? Where can they find you?
Yeah, mostly on Twitter these days. You can find me at Neil Dalal 96, NEILDALAL 96.
Of course, me, the Sports Rabbi, at the Sports Rabbi Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news in English and in Hebrew. Neil, this is great. I'm sure we will be seeing articles by you throughout the summer, catching up with the Wizards and Denny Avdia, and looking forward to it. So we'll speak to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Josh.